for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is a Wednesday evening service of December the 28th, 1988. Tape number 12 of the Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook is the teacher for the evening.
Brother Tommy Cook to come and minister the word of the Lord.
Stand together. Praise the Lord. Lord God, again tonight, we thank you tonight, Lord, for your people. And we thank you for their faithfulness of coming to these services. And Lord Jesus, as we approach the word tonight, we approach it reverently, and we ask you to help us to minister thy word, Lord, and give us an open heart. We bind any sleepiness and slothfulness here tonight, Lord. We take dominion over that spirit in the name of Jesus, and we bind it off the people. And we command in Jesus' name that spirit to take its hands off the people tonight. And Lord, I ask you to energize each one of us to hear this word. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We want to share tonight on Jezebel. How many believe Jezebel's in the land? How many believe Ahab's in the land too? Amen. But we want to share on Jezebel. I thought I was going to share something else today, but when I went back up to the house, I felt that's the way we should go. See, we want to share on tonight. You know, the reason we're seeing Jezebel, there's a reason. And the reason is that God is raising up an Elijah company. How many believe that tonight?
Yeah.
Or an Elijah army, however you want to say it. And, back in the Old Testament, we know that Ahab represents the political Babylon. And Jezebel represents religious Babylon. And in their time, we know, there was a period of time of a famine. And it was 3.5 years. Am I correct? But in that time of famine, God had a man raised up called Elijah. And how many know that Elijah brought the people back to God? He called the people together. And he prayed 63 words, and the fire fell upon God's people, and they fell on their faces and said, God is God. Hallelujah. And he prophesied the death, the downfall, the doom, the demise, and the destruction both of Ahab and Jezebel. And how many know that it came to pass as he prophesied? Praise the Lord. Now, we're in an hour that I believe that God is raising up prophets. And apostles, or I should say apostles and prophets. And I believe that God is raising up this Elijah people in this hour to deal with many things, but especially to deal with Jezebel. Now, let's go to the New Testament and establish some things here about Jezebel in chapter 2 of Revelation. Revelation chapter 2. And before I do that, just hang on there. How many know that the Bible said, flip back over to the Old Testament now, how many know the Bible says that in 2 Kings 9, it says here, turn over there with me, in verse 22, that Jezebel has whoredoms in her, and Jezebel has something else. Her witchcrafts are so many. How many believe we're being bombarded by witchcraft? And it said, her witchcrafts are many. Now, I know the word witchcraft means several things here, but this word witchcraft also means sorcery. I mean, believe there's sorcerers in the land. Amen. That's control of spirits. Now, tonight, let me say this. Jezebel is not just in women. It is both in men and women, just like Ahab can be in both. Isn't that right? And so when we address Jezebel, we're not picking on the ladies and we're not picking on the men. We're just saying, hey, if it's in us, let's get it out. Amen? And so it means, this word witchcraft means sorcery. Now, I want to show you that before we go to Revelation. Let's turn to Acts 8. Acts chapter 8 in the scripture. Acts 8 verse 9, I believe it is. There was a man named Simeon. Here in Acts 8 verse 9, notice what it says. But there was a certain man called Simon. I said, Simeon, Simon, which before time in the same city used what? Sorcery. That's how he controlled the people. He used sorcery, Martin says witchcraft, and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. Now, Jezebel always wants the preeminence. Jezebel always wants to be exalted. Can you say amen? Now, notice verse 10, though. They believed what he was saying. To whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And they were all deceived by believing and saying that. Amen? So we can see immediately that it's in women, yes, but it's also men. Chapter 13 now of Acts. Chapter 13 of Acts. And in chapter 13, we know that Paul and Barnabas had been sent out as apostles of the Lord. Now look in 13:6. And they come under fire. I mean, if you've got a ministry from God, you'll come under fire. You'll come under opposition from the enemy. In Acts 13:6, and when they had gone through the isle unto Patmos, they found a certain sorcerer. Notice, he's a false prophet. I mean, the land's full of false prophets today. A Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, and if you'll read right on down, you'll see he was keeping this one from hearing the word, and Paul, of course, pronounced a judgment upon him. Look in verse 10. He said, all, O full of all subtlety, mischief, you child of the devil, enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And so this one was a false prophet, but yet it was that same controlling spirit in him that can be in many people. Now, we know that a false prophet has a false spirit. Amen? Number two, a false prophet is well spoken of. Number three, a false prophet produces the wrong kind of fire. It is false fire. It is false miracles and so forth. He is a deceiver. He brings in the spirit of the world when he comes and ministers. I'm going to tell you that. He is a seducer of God's people. He has a large following. And right here we see this one sought to turn this one away from God. And a false prophet, of course, can be bought off. I mean, know that many false prophets at one time have been true prophets. Amen? So we can see tonight she is full of witchcrafts, sorcery, and whoredoms. The word whoredoms, back there in 2 Kings 9, means adultery, idolatry. It means fornication or to be whorish. I mean, that's not saying too much. Now, turn to Revelation 2. Revelation 2. Look in verse 20. And the things the church faced here, back in Revelation, when they were written years ago, or given years ago, how many know we're facing today? The same things that the early church faced, we're facing today in 1988. And how many believe that we need some discernment today within? Now notice verse 20, it says here, the Lord said, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee. You know, he always told them their good points. He told them what was wrong with them, and then he said, repent. Isn't that right? He said, I've got a few things against thee because thou sufferest that woman. And I believe she was a woman back in that church. But yet, how many know we're dealing with the spirit today? He said, that woman, Jezebel. Now, how many know that the word Jezebel, there's the word Babel, there's the word rebel, rebellion, Belshazzar, Beelzebub, got all kind of bells. Jezebel. And so he said, you suffered something, that woman Jezebel, let's go back here and find it now, which calleth herself something, a prophetess. Now notice she's telling everybody that she is a prophetess. I mean, believe if you really are, you don't have to tell others that, unless God directs, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit something, fornication, I believe it's both spiritually and naturally, and to a thing sacrificed to idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Now God said, behold, I'm going to do something. I'm going to cast her into a bed. And there is a message if you'd go on and study on the bed in the scripture. I'm going to cast her into a bed. And them that commit what? Adultery with her are going to go where? Into what? How many believe we're facing the great tribulation? No wonder we can see Jezebel arising in the land, because we're facing the great tribulation, and God said they're going to go into great tribulation except they repent of their deeds, and I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I'm he that searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give to every one of you according to your works. Now, look at verse 24. Listen to what he says. But unto you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this what? So Jezebel is a what? It is a doctrine. Where's it at? In the church. It was a doctrine here in the church. It is a doctrine or a teaching. Which, and notice, which have not known the depths of Satan. So Jezebel is a doctrine, and it is the depth of Satan. Can you say amen? Amen. Now, let me see. Let's look at some things what Jezebel is after tonight. Turn over with me to 1 Kings 18. 1 Kings 18. Let's see what she's after. Hallelujah. 1 Kings chapter 18. And notice verses, I believe it's 18. 18:4. And it said, and Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of the house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. He had the fear of God in him. For it was so when Jezebel did something, she cut off the prophets of the Lord, or she killed the prophets. So who's she after? Why is she after the prophets? Because they exposed her. And so she was killing the prophets, but Obadiah, who feared God, it says here, notice, he took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. So he preserved some of them, but yet she was out to kill many of them. Now look in chapter 19. Chapter 19 of Kings. I call this the road to depression. How many know that depression's real? And I want to tell you, Jezebel, you're not dealing with some little small thing. You're dealing with a strong spirit. Amen. You don't play games with the devil. Come on, say amen. Amen. Chapter 19, Jezebel's told what Elijah did to her prophets. And verse 2, Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah and said, so let the gods do to me. And more also, notice what she said, the gods, she asked the demons. And more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that he arose and went for his life, Martin said he ran for his life. Who's he running from? He's running from that spirit of Jezebel. But why did he run? Earlene said, because he was afraid. He ran because he had not heard the rhema. How many know without the rhema we run too? Hallelujah. I believe we need to hear God's rhema, don't you? And it says here, hallelujah. She said to him, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not the life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey in the wilderness and came and did something. Notice, number one, what did he do? He sat down. He's in a passive state under the juniper tree. And notice he requested for himself that he might do something. That he might die. He's running for his life. He's sitting down. He's saying, God, I want to die. Just take my life. Just take my life, Lord. I just soon to get out of this mess and go now. How many has ever felt like that? Huh? Yeah. Well, he heard from God on later. You'll read later. He heard from God and turned around. But you know, it wasn't long after that actually the Lord did take him on home. He went back to heaven. Praise the Lord. So he did run from Jezebel for a period of time, and he wished to die. So we're dealing with a depth of Satan, it says there in Revelation. We're dealing with a doctrine. We're dealing with witchcraft. We're dealing with whoredoms. And we're dealing with many things. Now turn to chapter 21. Look at chapter 21. Let's see what else we're dealing with. Jezebel is after your inheritance. Now, Brother Boland mentioned today, I believe it was, the inheritance that we have. And it's in the Lord, isn't it? And so chapter 21 here tells us and teaches us she's after the inheritance. Now, this was a physical thing, but we know that she wants more than just the physical. Now, chapter 21, we know that Naboth had a vineyard, and we know that Ahab wanted that particular vineyard, and Naboth wouldn't give it to him. And in verse 3, Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers to thee. And Ahab came into his house. Notice, you talking about depression, here it is too. Heavy. And it displeased him, of course, because of what Naboth had said. And notice what he did. He laid on the bed and turned his face away his face and wouldn't eat no bread. So he's pouting. He's in depression. He's offended. He's not happy. He's sad. And how many know Jezebel's coming right in? And I want to tell you something. When we get in that state, you're open for Jezebel. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And so here she walks in and she said, why is your spirit so sad? You ought to be like me. And she said, well, I'll get it for you. I'll get that vineyard for you. And notice in verse 7, I will give you the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. And of course she sealed letters in Ahab's name. She's taking authority. She doesn't supposed to. You see that? Verse 8. Now look at verse 9. She's very religious. She proclaimed the fast. Not that it's wrong to fast, or tomorrow's fast day, right? But she proclaimed a fast, but not all fasts are of God, is it? Hallelujah. And notice in verse 10, she set some men up to do something. These were men of Belial, or sons of the devil, or sons of wickedness. And notice they were to testify against him. And they did, and they stoned Naboth. And she took over the vineyard in verse 15. Notice it said, she said to Ahab, arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth. And he goes down to take it. And look at verse 17. What happened? Here comes the word to the prophet. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah, the Tishbite, saying. And so he goes out now to meet Ahab. He's coming back. He's going to meet Ahab. And he pronounces a judgment upon Ahab. Here, and then verse 23, notice what he says about Jezebel. And of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, the dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. The dogs are going to eat her. Hallelujah. Now, look in verse 25. You'll notice also here that Ahab, it said, sold himself to work what? Wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel, his wife, stirred up. How many believe that spirit can be stirred up in your home? It can be stirred up in your kids. It can be stirred up, you know, wherever. And that word stirred up means to be incited or inspired. She incited and she inspired him. She stirred him up to do the things that he did. And so that spirit is in the land today. Hallelujah. Now, how many know that when Jezebel fell, it was not in the reign of Elijah. He had pronounced the judgment. But it came in the reign of Elisha. How many know Elisha had the double portion, as Brother Boland said this morning? Now, Elisha didn't do it. But it was in his reign, in his time, when he was living, that Jezebel fell. Hallelujah. God's raising up a double portion ministry, isn't he? And I believe that his sons are going to deal with Jezebel. Hallelujah. Amen. And yet, we're going to see other means and methods too. Now, let's look at some other things here, just a minute. Turn with me to Isaiah 47. Let's look and see what else she does. Isaiah, and this is why we need some discernment. Isaiah 47. Look at verse 10. This whole chapter is on her, actually. She's full of witchcraft, the occult, sorceries, enchantment, and all the things that stargazing and astrology and prognostication, all that's in her. Now, but look in verse 10, listen to what she says. For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness, and thou hast said, none seeth me. Which means she does what? She hides. None seeth me. Then he said, the Lord said to her, thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee. And thou hast said in thine heart, I am, and none else is besides me. So he said to her that she is perverted. And yet she says, none sees me. But how many know you can't hide from the Holy Ghost? You can't hide from the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will find her out. Praise be unto God. Now, back in Revelation, we read today, a minute ago, that she was in that church, right? And we saw that she was doing something. She was teaching the people. And yet it said, there was a doctrine. It was a doctrine there being taught. And God said, I'm going to cast her into a bed. We remember reading that? But the New King James says, he said, I'll cast her into a sick bed. Into a sick bed. Which means those who practice Jezebel and those who come under Jezebel's control is going to come under sickness. Can you hear me? So maybe some of our sickness in our bodies may be been caused from that control or that witchcraft or that Jezebel spirit that's been coming against us. Maybe we're not aware. Maybe we're exercising it, or maybe it's been exercised against us. Can you say amen? Now, the Amplified said it's a bed of anguish. I mean, know that if you're in anguish, you're in torment. And let me tell you what else Jezebel does. It controls the mind and the emotions. Amen? Hallelujah. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching good. It's true. It controls the mind and the emotions. And that spirit is in ministries. That spirit is in people in the church. Amen. And this last year, even though I've preached a lot on Jezebel at times and God has spoken to me, I do know that I have had to battle that particular spirit three different ones, especially in false prophecy and false words spoken over me. How many's ever had to do that? Say amen. Now, let's look at this. Turn to Ezekiel. Now, when I say false prophecy, I'm talking both in men and women. In chapter 13 of Ezekiel, how many know Ezekiel is dealing with the prophets that's speaking out of their own hearts and they have seen nothing. Remember that? Let's look at it just a minute. First of all, let's look at the men, then we'll go to the women. I mean, we've got to balance this thing out, women and men. Amen? Amen. I don't get a shoe thrown at me. All right. Ezekiel 13. Notice here, in verse 3, he said, woe to the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit, their own mind, see, and have seen nothing. Now, a prophet is a seer, which means he sees things. Isn't that right? Well, if these were supposed to be prophets or seers, they were seeing nothing, then it's vanity, it's false vision, and it's a lie. Now, he said, verse 4, O Israel, your prophets are like the foxes in the deserts or the waste places. No life, no water. It's death. And so forth. Now, come on down to verse 18, 17. Here we come now to the women. And he said in verse 17, likewise, thou son of man, set thy face against the daughters of who? Of thy people, of his own people. Set your face against the daughters of your people. Now notice, which prophesy out of their own heart, and prophesy thou against them. Now, how would you like to prophesy against the women? Or the men, either one. Because he was told to do both. Amen? Verse 18. And say, thus saith the Lord God, woe to the women that sew pillows to all our holes and make kerchiefs upon the heads of every statue to what? What are they doing? Hunting souls. Now, the Amplified talks about magic and charms here. So we're dealing with the occult, aren't we? We're dealing with witchcraft, that these women were using that means, you see, to hunt souls. Now, again, what's in the soul? It's the mind, help me now, the will, the emotions, and the desires. Jezebel is a mind controller. It controls your emotions as well. Now, she's out to hunt souls. Will you hunt the souls? Notice what God said. Of my people. Yes, she will. And will you save the souls alive that come to you? Will you pollute me among my people for handfuls of barley? I mean, believe she can be bought off. So can the prophets who allow themselves to submit to that spirit. And for pieces of bread to slay, here it is, to slay the souls that should not die. And to save the souls alive that should not live by your lying to my people that hear your lies. So Jezebel is a lying spirit, isn't it? Listen to what God said now. Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I'm against your pillows, wherewith you there hunt the souls to make them fly. I will tear them from your arms, and will let the souls go, even the souls that you hunt to make them fly. Your kerchiefs also will I tear and deliver my people out of your hand. They shall be no more in your hand to be hunted, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. How many can see God's judgment coming here? And God's dealing with that spirit, isn't he? In the church, we would say. Because with lies or error, you've made the heart of the righteous sad. Did you hear that, folks? Maybe some here tonight are sad because you've been under that spirit. Whom I have not made sad, and strengthened the hands of the wicked, that he should not return from his wicked way, by promising him life. Therefore, you shall see no more vanity nor divine divination. There it is. For I will deliver my people out of your hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Notice the word deliver.
Amen.
God said, I'm going to deliver my people from that spirit. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you, brethren, the church is full of Jezebel. That spirit that controls and manipulates the church. And yet God said, I'm going to deliver, hallelujah, my people from your hand. Amen. And you're going to know that I'm the Lord. Well, when you get deliverance, you know he's Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. God said that. Now, so we can see she's after the souls of men. Turn to Revelation 18. This harlot system, it's the Jezebel, 17 and 18. You can look at it different ways, but in chapter 18, verse 13, listen to what it says. And you know, how many know that we reap what we sow? Look at verse 10 just a minute. Notice it stopped here about her torment. Now that spirit torments, it controls. And yet there's coming a time, God said, when the judgment hits this thing here, this Jezebel, this whorish system, God said, notice, standing afar off, the people were, for the fear of her torment. Now, and it talks all the things she's doing, but come down to verse 13. Cinnamon, odors, ointments, frankincense, wine, oil, flour, wheat, bees, sheep, horses and chariots, and slaves, and what else? The souls of men. So Jezebel wants your soul. Remember again, Amplified said, that God said, I'm going to throw into a bed of anguish, mental torment. So she wants to control the minds and the emotions of people. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Now, let me show you what must happen to deal with Jezebel. Turn over to 2 Kings again. You've got to be anointed to deal with Jezebel. How many believe we need some more anointing? 2 Kings 9. And there's a man here that's not going to be afraid of Jezebel because of the anointing. Look in chapter 9, 2 Kings 9:1. And Elisha the prophet called, notice it's in the reign of Elisha, not Elijah. It's in that reign of the double portion, right? And Elisha the prophet called one of the children of the prophets and said to him, gird up thy what? I mean, oh, that's a reproductive area. That's an area of strength. Gird up your loins. And take this box of oil in thine hand and go to Ramoth Gilead. And when thou comest thither, look out there Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, and go in and make him arise up and from among his brethren and carry him to an inner chamber. Then take the box of oil and pour it on his head and say, thus saith the Lord, I have anointed thee king over Israel. Then open the door and flee and tarry not. You pour the oil on his head and tell him what I'm saying and you get out of there. So the young man, even the young man, the prophet, went to Ramoth Gilead, and when he came, behold, the captains of the host were sitting, and he said, I have an errand for thee, O captain. And Jehu said, unto which of us? And he said, unto thee, O captain. And he rose and went to the house, and he poured the oil on his head and said to him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I have anointed thee king over the people of the Lord, even over Israel. And thou shalt smite the house of who? Ahab, thy master, that I may avenge the blood of my servants, the prophets, and the blood of the servants of the Lord at the hand of Jezebel. For the whole house of Ahab shall perish. Notice that. Verse 9, I will make the house of Ahab like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of son of Ahijah, and the dog shall eat Jezebel. In the portion of Jezreel, same prophecy given by Elijah, now is given by Elisha, and through this young prophet, rather I should say, and there shall be none to bear her, and he opened the door, and he fled. And of course, Jehu comes to where Jezebel is. Now, let's go over to chapter 9, and here he's driving his chariot, coming to get and to check on Jezebel. Now, look at verse 30, as he comes to Jezreel, and Jezebel hears about his coming, and she begins to paint her face. Now, I see more than just putting some makeup on here. I see pretense, hypocrisy. How many know that's behind it? And so she paints her face, and it says, notice, she painted her face and tired her head. That word tired means beautified. She beautified her head. Well, we all need that, don't we? And looked out a window. And so Jehu comes, and in verse 32, he lifts up his face to the wind and said, "Who is on my side? Who?" And there looked out to him two or three eunuchs. I really believe God's got some eunuchs. I mean, a eunuch is one that cannot reproduce out of himself. A eunuch is one who only produces by the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about spiritual eunuchs now. Let me show you this. Hold your place. Turn to Matthew 19 a minute. Matthew 19. In verse 12, Jesus said, our Lord said, "For there are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb." They were born that way. "And there are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men." There are religious systems that, how many know that they'll castrate you? "And there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs." For what? That's the motivation. For the kingdom of heaven's sake, that's the sons. He that's able to receive it, let him receive it. Amen? And then you go to Isaiah 56, you'll see the eunuchs are those who go to the mountains. Praise the Lord. And so forth. So we can see that the eunuchs here threw her down. Look in verse 33, back in Kings, and he said, "Throw her down." So they threw her down, and some of her blood sprinkled on the wall. And of course, they went out to bury her. All they can find was the skull. I mean, oh, that's a beast mind. And her feet, that speaks of her walk life. And of course, her hand speaks of her work. But in verse 36, "Wherefore they came again and told him, and he said, This is the word of the Lord, which he spake by servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, In the portion of Jezreel shall dogs eat the flesh." Notice that. Shall dogs eat what? The flesh. The flesh of Jezebel. Now turn to Revelation 17. I preached several messages recently on the dogs. I mean, old Paul said, beware of dogs. And yet it's the dogs that ate Jezebel. I mean, old dogs will eat just about anything. And they run in packs, and some dogs, you know, if they get so hungry, they'll kill, they'll bite, whatever. And so it was the dogs that ate Jezebel. Now here in chapter 17, verse 16, notice what it says here. 17:16, I believe it is, yes. "And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the" who? That's the Jezebel system, the whore, the harlot, "and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall" do something? "Eat her flesh and burn her with fire." Now, what did the dogs eat? They ate her flesh, didn't they? And right here it says that these kings, which is an end time word we won't go into, shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Look over in chapter 18 just a minute, Revelation. Verse 8. God said, "Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning, famine. She shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her." God will judge her, won't he? Amen. Now, look in James chapter 5 a minute. James chapter 5. It doesn't mention Jezebel here, but how many know money controls people? You can be a Jezebel and control people with your money. James 5. That's a new scripture. James 5, verse 1. Now listen to what James says here, brethren. "Go to now, you who? Rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted. Your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered. And the rust of them shall be a witness against you. And notice, shall eat," here it is, "your flesh as it were with fire." Hallelujah. I want to tell you, money controls people. And God said that it's going to eat your flesh as a fire. Amen? Turn to Ezekiel 16. Ezekiel 16. How many has ever studied this chapter? Well, if you haven't, you should. It's really good. Ezekiel 16. Look at verse 32. God said, speaking of his people, but as a wife that committeth what? What does Jezebel commit? Adultery. Which taketh strangers. Did you hear that? That's foreigners. Instead of her husband. Notice, they give gifts to all whores. But thou givest thy gifts to all thy lovers and hirest them that they may come unto thee on every side for thy whoredom. There's the word whoredom again. Hallelujah. Now, and the contrary is in thee from other women in thy whoredoms, whereof none followeth thee to commit whoredoms and so forth. Verse 35. Therefore, wherefore, O harlot, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, because thy filthiness was poured out and thy nakedness discovered. Notice that. Through thy whoredoms with thy lovers and with all the idols of thy abominations and by the blood of thy children which thou didst give unto them. Now, in verse 38, God says this. Now listen to what God says. In verse 38 here. And I will judge thee as women that break wedlock and shed blood are judged. And I will give thee blood in fury and in jealousy. Now look at verse 41. Here's talking about the judgment. And they shall burn, here it is, thy houses with what? Fire, and execute judgments upon thee in the sight of many women, and I will cause thee to cease from playing the harlot, and thou also shalt give no hire anymore. So God is going to judge with what? Fire. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. So, we can see that God is going to judge Jezebel. So, again, Jezebel has witchcraft. She has whoredoms. It is the depths of Satan. It is the doctrine of Satan. She's out for the inheritance. She's out to destroy the ministry. She hides. She'll cause sickness. There is that control, that manipulation, that domination, that domineering and so forth. She wants to dominate us. She wants to denominate us. She wants to isolate us. She wants to indoctrinate us with her doctrine. Can you say amen? Amen. Now let's go over to Revelation. And look in chapter 17. Let's see where Jezebel is. Chapter 17, and I want to look at verse 1. It shows us and tells us here, because we're dealing with the Spirit. Chapter 17, verse 1. There came one of the seven angels, which had seven vials, and talk with me, saying unto me, come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore. And notice where she's sitting. Where? On many waters. How many know that's people? Isn't that right? Now, notice something. In chapter 4, John was told to come up hither, wasn't he? Remember that? Come up higher. But now that he's in the Spirit, he's told to come hither, come closer, come a little closer. I got something else to show you. Huh? And he's going to show him the judgment of the great whore that's sitting on the waters. Now, in verse 1, she's on the waters. Verse 15, look at verse 15. He said, the waters that thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples, and what? Multitudes, and nations, and tongues. Everybody see that? Now, look in verse 3. Well, let's see where else she's sitting here. In verse 3, he carried me away in the Spirit. Where? Into the... Where are you going to find out about Jezebel? When you're in the Spirit, in the wilderness. I mean, there's another woman in the wilderness in chapter 12. He carried me away in the Spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman. And notice where she's sitting, up on a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemies and so forth. She's in control of the beast at this time. So she's on the people, and she's on the beast. And then if you'll go on down, you'll see it's representing mountains and heads and kings. She's in control. Can you say amen? Now, go to chapter 18. Let's look at it again here. Chapter 18 of Revelation. I mean, the word sorceries here means witchcraft. It's the same as Galatians. chapter 5. Now, in Revelation 18, let's go back here just a minute to verse 20. Notice, rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy, what? Apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. Now, look in verse 22, talking about Babylon fallen, this system. The voice of harpers and musicians and pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. No more worship, I suppose. And whatever craft he be, how many know that can be ministries though? What else? Not the sound of the millstone, that's the word. Verse 23, the light of the candle shall not shine no more at all in thee. No moving of the Holy Ghost. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more at all. No prophetic voice. Now look at the last part of verse 23. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy what? Sorceries or witchcrafts were all, here it is now, all, everybody say all. All nations deceived. Now how many know the sorceries there is the, just to boil it down, it's the drug culture. Isn't that right? How many know that drugs control people? Now, in her was found something. The blood of who? The prophets and saints. I mean, oh, that's your life. So we don't want our life wrapped in, up in Jezebel, do we? We want to be set free. Was found the blood of the prophets. Of course, this is actually martyrs. And of saints and all that were slain upon the earth. Notice, I want you to notice that. Of prophets and saints and of all. Now, it said back here, in verse 23, all the nations were deceived by her. Now it said, all were slain upon the earth, was found, you see, in her. Amen? Hallelujah. Now turn to Jeremiah. The Lord woke me up and spoke one night to me several times about Jezebel. And he showed me she was the queen of heaven. He showed me that by revelation. And Jeremiah 44, verse 15. But before we go to verse 15, look at verse 7 and 8. 7 and 8. Therefore now, thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, wherefore commit ye this great evil. Notice this, you commit this great evil against something. Against your souls. That's your mind, your will, emotions, and desires again. To cut off from you man and woman, child, suckling out of Judah, to leave you none to remain. Verse 8. In that you provoke me unto wrath with the works of your hands, burning what? Incense unto what? Other gods in the land of Egypt, type the world, whether you go or be gone to dwell, that you might cut yourselves off, and that you might be a curse, notice that, and a reproach among all the nations of the earth. Now, look in chapter 44, verse 15. God said, then all the men which knew that their wives had burned incense unto what? Other gods. Notice, the men knew this. Now, here we're dealing with women, okay? The men knew this, all right? And all the women that stood by, notice, a great multitude. What's that? That's a large following, isn't it? Even all the people that dwelt in the land of Egypt in Patros answered Jeremiah, saying, as for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee. That is total rebellion, isn't it? Whether we be man or woman, how many know we better hear the prophets? If they have a word from God, if they have a word from the Lord. Now, next verse, or whoever is speaking. But we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of what? Our own mouth, in order to burn incense unto the queen of heaven. Now, God said when you burn that incense over in, back in verse 7 and 8, he said you commit this evil against your soul. So where are you going to suffer? Yes, it's a spiritual suffering. It's in the soul realm, isn't it? And so he said, you're going to burn this incense to the queen of heaven and to pour out drink offerings to her as we have done. And notice, we and our what? That's the men, isn't it? Our fathers and our kings and our princes in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. For then had we plenty. I mean, the devil liked to hook you, though. He's a liar, isn't he? Looks good, don't it? But he puts his hook in your jaw. Plenty of victuals. And we were well, no sickness. Well, that's contrary to what God said. God said, I'm going to throw in a sick bed. Hallelujah. and saw no evil. Nothing happened to me. We had peace. Well, he'll take the pressure off for a while to snare you in. But since we left off to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her, we have wanted all things. Who's sure they're exalting? The Queen. The Queen. I said the Queen. Now look over just a minute. Now hold on. Hold your place. Turn to Revelation 18. Look in verse, I believe it's chapter 18, verse 7. Now listen to what she said. How much she hath glorified herself, lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit as a queen, and am no more a widow, and shall see no sorrow. How many know she's totally deceived? Because God's bringing the judgment on her. Now, back in Jeremiah, she's called the Queen of Heaven. How many know Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, of principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and wicked spirits in where? The heavenlies. And she's called the Queen of Heaven. And we saw she was a depth of Satan. And yet she said, I'm a queen. And yet right here, they're burning incense to the Queen of Heaven. Amen. And verse 19, when we burned incense to the Queen of Heaven and poured out drink offerings unto her, did we make her cakes to worship her and pour out drink offerings unto her without our men? Now that means without the husbands. Well, yes, they did. So we're dealing with a spirit, aren't we? Now, how many know she controls the political arena? She controls the economic, and she controls the religious world. Can you say amen? How many know God began to shake all three of them this last year? How many believe the shaking isn't over? God's going to judge her. Totally. Completely. God is raising up that Elijah company. Hallelujah. With that spirit of Elijah upon them. I'm not saying Elijah himself necessarily just coming back. I'm talking about a company, an army of people. Amen. With the spirit of the Lord upon them. Praise God. Now, let's look at the New Testament. Go to Acts 19. Another scripture so here. Praise the Lord. Acts 19. And I want to look at verse 24, please. Acts 19, 24. It says here, a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana. Now, whether you call it the harlot system, the Jezebel system, the Queen of Heaven, or Diana, or the worship of Mary, how many of you are dealing with the same thing? And notice he said he built these silver shrines for Diana and brought no small gain unto the craftsmen whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation and said, sirs, you know that by this craft we have our what? Wealth. Who you think's controlling the wealth? Huh? It's Jezebel. Moreover, you see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, thank God, hallelujah, there's somebody on the scene, isn't there? This Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people. Glory to God. He's a troublemaker. Yeah, it's a Jezebel. Saying that they be no gods which are made with hands. So that not only this our craft is in danger to be said at all, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and what? And the world worships. So there are people worshiping that spirit. Hallelujah. Notice verse 28. And when they heard these sayings, they were full of joy. No. Wrath. And cried out, saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians. And the whole city, notice, was filled with confusion and so forth. Now, look at verse 32. This is the picture of the church right here in many places. Some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly or the church is what the word is. Was what? Confused, and the more part, the majority, knew not wherefore they were come together. I mean, sometimes we see that. Confusion. Then in verse 35, they're still crying out for Diana here. And when the town clerk had appeased the people, he said, you men of Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not how that the city of the Ephesians is a worshiper of the great goddess Diana,
And of the image that fell down from what? How many know that is a demon?
Spirit.
They're worshiping a spirit. Can you say amen? So she's the queen of heaven. She is Diana. She is the harlot system. There's the worship of Mary. So forth. Amen. Now, let's look at just a couple scriptures in closing. Turn to Revelation chapter 2. How many believe God's against control? In me, or in you, or anybody. We must be controlled by the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And be led of the Holy Ghost. Now, in chapter 2 of Revelation, Jesus is speaking to the church at Ephesus, and in verse 6, the Lord said, "But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate." How many believe that which God hates, we better hate?
Amen.
How many know this was the ministry, to bring it down, the minister controlling the people? Or the clergy controlling the laity, however you want to say it. It was ministry controlling the people. And that's taking the place of the Holy Ghost, and God's against it. I mean, we're to be controlled by the Holy Ghost. Now, I don't mean we rebel against ministry. We submit to truth, don't we? Whoever presents truth. But the Holy Ghost is our covering and the one that's leading us. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And so God said, I hate that thing. Now, notice here in this verse, it is a deed. Now, look up to verse is it? 17? Another verse on up there. In verse 15. Here's another church, and he said, so hast thou also them that hold the doctrine. So it went from the deed to the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. God said, which thing I hate. I hate. Now turn to the Song of Solomon quickly. Song of Solomon. Let's look at a scripture here. There's so much here, I'd never get through all that I like to say in this chapter, but just a few things. In chapter 1. In chapter 1, it's a song of songs. And Solomon wrote 1,005 songs, I think it was. Verse 2, the Lord's kissing this one. It's an intimacy. And verse 4, she's beginning to be drawn by the Lord. Draw me, we will run after thee. How many know the we is our spirit, our soul, and body first? And of course, it'll affect other people, and they'll run with you. Verse 5, she sees herself. I'm black but comely. She's seeing the old nature, and yet she's seeing the new nature. She's seeing the old man, yet she's seeing the new man. That's beautiful. And then in verse 8, notice, look not upon me because I am black, because of what? S-U-N has looked upon me. My mother's children were what? Angry with me. They made me, notice, they made me. How many know that spirit of control once forces you to do things? They made me, come on, help me now, the keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard have I not kept. Now, when you begin to get a revelation of Jesus, when you begin to have an intimacy with Jesus, when you begin to cry out for Him to draw you, and He takes you into His chambers, and you begin to taste of His wine and His love, and you begin to get a revelation of yourself, how many know that religious system don't like it? And they're going to hate you, they're going to get mad at that spirit doesn't like it. Because they make you, they force you. I tell you, brother, that is not of God. That is a demon. That is Jezebel. We're not to be forced into anything. We're to be led by the Holy Ghost in whatever we do. That's all of us. And so here it says, my mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards. But my own vineyard have I not kept. We can get so busy, so religious. So busy that we neglect our own soul and spirit. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Amen. Verse 7. Tell me, O thou, whom my soul loveth. Oh, hallelujah. What a message there is in that. Where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. Noon's when the sun's straight up and hot and bright. Why should I be? Now look at this. Why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flock to thy companions? And then in verse 8 he answers her, if thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock. How many know the Lord's going to lead you and me to His body? Amen? Feed thy kids, that's the little ones, beside the shepherd's tents. Notice the word shepherd, shepherd's tent. And I do believe God's raising up shepherds. I believe every true apostle, every true prophet, every true teacher, and pastor and evangelist, are shepherds. Those that God has ordained and called and equipped. And God is raising up shepherds in the church. Amen? Let's stand. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we stand against the spirit of Jezebel. We stand against the spirit of control, the spirit of witchcraft, the spirit of whoredom, the spirit of the doctrine of Jezebel, manipulation. And Heavenly Father, tonight in the name of Jesus, we ask that you show us and speak to our hearts in those areas where we have been controlled or we may be controlling others. So I want everybody to pray this prayer with me right now. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I repent of being a vessel for the spirit of Jezebel to use me or to control me. Forgive me this night. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. Cleanse me from that spirit. And right now, Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I come against the spirit of Jezebel. I break your control. I break your manipulation. I break your domination in the name of Jesus. And I command now that spirit to be broken over me. In Jesus' name, I cast you out. I deal with you. I hurl you out. I throw you down. And I command you by the authority of the Lord Jesus and by the word of God, loose me and let me go in Jesus' name. Everybody take a deep breath. In Jesus' name, I command that thing to go. I command Jezebel to go. I break the hold. I break the stronghold. I break the dominion over the people of God. Come out. Loose them in Jesus' name. By the authority of Jesus. By the name of Jesus, you loose this people. You loose them tonight. I command you to go in Jesus' name. All witchcraft, all dominion, all domination, take your hands off and loose the people of God. Hallelujah. Come on, let's praise him a minute. Can we do it? Let's praise him. Let's glorify him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We magnify you, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. We glorify your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, God. Lord Jesus, raise up the Elijah Company, Lord. Raise up this army of God in the land, Lord. Across the world, mighty God. Raise up your anointed ones, Lord God. Father, we pray for them tonight, whoever and wherever they are. Oh, that your anointing, God, and your power would come into them. Your purity and your holiness, oh God, would take hold of them, Lord. Raise them up, Lord Jesus. Purify them by your fire. Cleanse them. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. We thank you. Now, Lord, we pray for the campgrounds here. We pray again for Brother and Sister Miller. And we pray, God, over the campgrounds. We ask your protection over this campground. We plead and call upon the blood of Jesus over this camp, Lord. And we bind the powers and principalities over the land, Lord. And we ask, Father, that you raise up many intercessors in this hour that would pray for this camp and pray for the people of God. Heavenly Father, we lift them up and we hold them up. And we ask, God, that you move mightily in this place, O God, in the year to come, in 1989, God, that you'd pour out your spirit and move mightily here, Lord Jesus, as well as across the land. For all the ministries that are here tonight, every ministry that's represented, music and preaching and whatever, God, we pray for them in 1989 that you'll pour out your glory and your spirit upon them, that you'll anoint them, God. Hallelujah. Lord, there'll be a great move of the Lord in the land. Oh, God, let it start first in us, Lord. Oh, Lord, we pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, God. Let's just wait just a little bit before the Lord in case there's a word coming forth. If anybody's got a word of the Lord from God, hallelujah. Obey the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Obey the Holy Ghost.
obey the Holy Ghost.
For I am the one that slayeth the dragon in the sea, saith the Lord. I am the one that hath the power and the anointing, saith the Lord thy God. Yea, walk softly before me, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and truly I shall raise thee up. For truly I put my anointing within thee, and I do raise thee up my people in this hour. Be not fearful, neither afraid of the enemy, for I have given you power over all the works of the enemy. Stand thy ground, hold thy ground, saith the Lord, and see that the Lord shall work for thee, and the Lord shall move for thee, for he has not forgotten thee. He is with thee, he is within thee, saith the Lord. Amen. Let's praise him, amen. Let's praise our God tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Heavenly Father, we lift up again tonight President Bush that's coming in 1989 into office. Lord God, we lift him up and we hold him and Vice President Quayle up, Lord. We ask God in Jesus' name that the Holy Spirit would send prophets to these men. God, make a way where they would hear the men of God and take counsel from wise men, God, that hear from thee. Father, we ask it in the name of Jesus. We ask your protection over them and upon the leaders of the land, Lord. Send a great move of the Lord, we pray, in America, Lord God. Send a mighty move of the Lord Jesus in 1989. Lord, I pray, deal with sin, yes, Lord. But, oh God, send a mighty move. Raise up the ministry. Raise up men and women full of the Holy Ghost. And, Lord, again, I do pray for the leaders, for the president and vice president, that you'd give them wisdom this coming year, Lord. And that you would speak to them through your prophets and through your apostles, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. God bless.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.